here. Public Works Committee meeting on Tuesday, March 1st, 2023, at 6 p.m. And in accordance with the disaster proclamation, we are offering this meeting in person and via Zoom. We'd have one attendee, a committee member, on Zoom. Others may join. Seeing no citizens, I believe there are no citizen comments. So next up, minutes for correction or approval from our last meeting, February 21st, 2023.
Okay.
Good. I'm good. Joe, you got anything?
I'm good.
All right. Excellent. I'm going to enter those into the record. New business item number one, snow operations report, PW 2023-24.
Hopefully, this is the last one. It was one regular operation and then a year-end report. All usage was down this year, which was a blessing. It was great. We enjoyed it. And we do have about 450 tons of salt left in our bins, so we can order less next year. Yes. If there's any questions, I'll gladly answer them.
Do you still have some at the county or not?
We have 1,000 tons at the county. We still have 1,000 tons at the county.
And you can leave it there for
in perpetuity.
Okay.
We bought that space, and that's just kind of our savings account.
Okay.
I have no other questions. Can you have any others?
Nope.
Joe, you got any questions?
I'm good.
Excellent. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
New business item number two, PW 2023-25, Bristol Bay Unit 10, plat of easement.
All right, there is an easement request from the developer. This is needed to basically contain some drainage and stormwater related items. I apologize, the memo also references a plat of dedication. Originally we thought there was one, but that actually went to Kendall County, so we took it out of the packet but forgot to change the memo, so I apologize for that. It is only just the plat of easement that's requested. So at this time, I'm just looking for committee approval to move forward so the mayor and clerk can execute.
I'm good.
Good. Joe, you got any questions?
I'm good.
All right, it seems pretty straightforward. I have no questions. Consent agenda,
yeah,
good?
Consent's fine for me.
Excellent. Thanks, Brad. New business item number three, PW 2023-26, well number 10 and raw water. Well number 10 and raw water main agreement design engineering.
All right, so this is the one of the first, I'm going to say Lake Michigan-ish expenses. So we need to design well 10, which is going to be located probably over by the high school, pumped in a raw water main, which is included in here, over to our Tower Lane facility for water treatment. This is the well that we need both to meet capacity issues before we hook onto Lake Michigan, but then also to provide for a backup sustainable source after Lake Michigan. So this is going to take us all the way through the design phase. It is budgeted. It is $282,000, a combination of fixed fees and estimated direct expenditures. But we recommend moving forward with it per the presentation we had a couple months back.
So you said it's over by the school, the well. And how did you decide that spot? I'm just curious.
Closest we could get it, yet far enough away where it's not going to influence our well, just to kind of keep the cost down.
Right, I was just trying to know the science of how you guys decided.
We wanted to go at least a half a mile, so we don't influence what we're drawing down. Like, we can have both of them on.
Okay.
And then we also wanted as close as we could to keep the cost down.
And then the design will have a building and everything with it?
It will not. So it's just a well head.
Okay.
But then you're going to have some electrical equipment and what have you. So it's going to be somewhat of a smaller footprint. If you look at
Bristol Ridge and Kennedy,
it's exactly what it's going to look like. And then we need to build a water main to connect with the well back to the water treatment plant.
Okay.
So Eric and I are meeting with the school on Friday just to introduce
the idea
of the project. We've shared a couple exhibits, but to really start the discussions in earnest.
Okay.
Joe, you got anything?
I'm good.
All right. I have no questions. questions, but I would anticipate there may be a couple from the council, so we'll throw that on the standard Public Works agenda.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Brad. All right. New business item number four, PW 2023-27, Lake Michigan WIFIA Letter of Interest Engineering Agreements.
So this is the first phase of the WIFIA loan process, so it's like an application before the application. So the formal application, which will come later, this does not cover. You have to actually be invited by the EPA to apply for the loan. In order to do that, we have to do the letter of interest, which will go through everything from, general funding parameters, what's eligible for funding, what's not, what our local share is eligible for. Hopefully that we're eligible for an 80% with the loan versus 49%, depending on our population. That may or may not come during this phase. And other things, so project narratives, it's basically like they're vetting of concepts and projects, in full before they actually spend the time and money to go through the application process, which results in a closing. So when I had met with the head underwriter for this program in Washington, D.C. back in December, she had encouraged us to apply immediately, that they want to be partners with us, and want to know everything about the project. That way they can basically help us out from our earliest thoughts on how we're going to do it, what it's going to look like, all the way to project completion years from now. So just getting ahead of myself with the WIFIA process. Requires visits, it requires inspections, it requires reports, it requires federalization of the entire procurement construction process. So even the stuff that we're doing now, we're putting in Davis-Bacon Act requirements. There's different, Build America, Buy America requirements. American Iron and Steel is the one I think that they get an exemption for. But it basically says whatever the federal government does from a procurement policy, we have to do too. So that's my elevator speech on WIFIA, and this would basically just take us for a couple months of work with Brad's firm and with their sub-consultant Stantec, which is a national engineering firm, very large. They're doing a lot of work on the Joliet project too, and so they've done multiple WIFIA loans before. It can kind of help us through that process too. So $30,000, it is in the budget, and we're going to discuss the remaining components of the project here later.
I guess my only question with Stantec is, a couple, have we worked with them before?
Yes, we have. We actually are sub to them in Joliet. We're working on bringing Lake Michigan water out.
Okay.
And we've also teamed with them on other projects throughout the area. So,
okay.
They, as Bart said, they've done several WIFIA projects and considered very well known in that arena. In the meetings that we've had thus far, it's been very positive, but they certainly know what they're talking about.
Yeah, our meeting yesterday, there was Dallas, Seattle, St. Louis. That was their team members.
Denver.
Excellent. Second question is, are we expecting them to be involved in a decent amount? Or are they kind of coming in, coming out as we progress through?
Yeah, through this process, they'll be probably taking the lead on the application, and then we'll be providing the support because all the background and what have you, working with Bart and Rob and Eric to kind of fill in all the details.
Okay.
But they'll take it and kind of polish it off and actually make the application for us.
Okay. Okay. Add some glitter, make it sparkle. What's up, man?
So, will you be using the $140 million that you remember that you used in the budget discussion last week? Is that the number you go into these guys with?
Yes. Subject to tweaks, of course.
Well, because that number is kind of vague still. You don't know the final number anyhow, right?
Correct.
So, you're just going to go with the high number, right?
Yep. High-end estimates, and, with the WIFIA that I talked about, they will basically review our figures, and they want us to include appropriate construction contingencies, for a project that's going to take 5 to 6 years in a construction inflation environment that might be double digits some year, you never know, depending on the materials. So their goal is basically to sign off on that as part of this project so that we aren't shortchanged later by our loan amount. So they have said basically, their goal isn't to, fund more than what's required under the law, but they want to make sure that by the end of the program that they, we're eligible for an 80% loan, that we haven't, gotten a loan for 50% of it, and,
right.
It ends up being way more expensive than that. so they want us to, you know, to make
sure. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if make sure we cover ourselves that way.
Excellent. Joe, you got any questions? Going to say he doesn't if you don't. So, and you good, Ken?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So I think consent agenda should be fine. You guys in agreement?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Bart. Thanks, Brett. New business item number 5, PW2023-28, our seal coat machine purchase. Very exciting for Eric.
It is. This is a big day. Not often you get to say you get to purchase a seal coat machine that you could write on. But it is actually a big day. This is something that we feel could actually be very useful for the city now that we have so many trails, parking lots that are relatively new that we should really take care of. And with something like this machine, we will be able to do every parking lot, every trail in a 5-year rotation. We budgeted for it last year. They didn't. They were so far behind in their manufacturing that we couldn't get one, so we actually forwarded it to next budget year. So fiscal year 24, and if we order now, we will get it in time to do our first year's seal coating during like probably July and August. It is a sole source bid. I've looked, there's not like a big dealerships for seal coat machines, but Seal Master is a nationwide company. This is what they do. They sell the actual, that's where we go buy the asphalt itself, the seal coat. This is all they do, and they do it well. I checked on another one in Pennsylvania. I think I included it on here. It was almost the same price, and it was a minimum of, he said, a minimum of an 8-month lead time. And it looks almost the same, just a different color. The Seal Master is an 8-week delivery time, so that should be plenty.
You know, Chris did have some questions about whether we should be in-housing this during previous budget discussions.
Yep.
Additionally, I talked to Siever about a couple different topics today. He had the same questions. Siever had downloaded the packet. Eric did provide financial analysis of, you know, doing a 5-year program, both in-house and outsourced, just to kind of show you what kind of ROI that we think we can achieve if we choose to in-house the service. But I followed up with that in the sense of.
So, because I know like Fox Hill has some trails, Wyandotte has the one partial trail that's paved that we're responsible for, so, and Raintree probably has some too. So, how do you, are you going to have a certain order that you, because some of those are probably 5 years old already.
We're going to go by area.
Okay.
So, we'll just tackle wherever we start, we'll just tackle areas and move.
Because you're not going to get them all done in 1 year.
No.
Not even to start with, and then.
I wish. No, we're looking, I think it was 40 acres that we would have to seal coat. I mean, it's a lot of area. So to fit it in, we're probably going to be 3 weeks doing it as it is.
Are you going to go out and take a look at, to see the shape that they're in?
Oh, yeah, but what we might do, I think from a perspective of, we may do some of the newest ones first that don't need
to
anymore,
keep them.
To preserve them. And then kind of work our way and patch where we need to and seal where we need to before we seal code.
Okay.
Because some of that is much older. Wyandotte, some of that's 15 years old.
Yeah. Well, I think Wyandotte we had it.
We had patched.
Yeah, we had 2016. Yeah. Remember when we had to do the punch list? So that should
got
be
sealed and then patched.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I remember that we did some work on that one.
Yeah. It was like Riverfront is old. You know, they're all old, so we'll get them all done.
And Fox Hill, I thought we...
Fox Hill's private. Fox Hill isn't ours.
Oh, I thought it was. And I thought they had just repaved it.
I have to seal coat those this year as part of the SSA. That's
I knew that there was something to do with... Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the budget for the SSA. Okay.
Along Route 71, is that new asphalt trails? Is that our responsibility?
It is, yeah.
Okay. So that's a huge... What's that distance from
that one's a couple miles. The Route 34 one from Eldemain Road to Linwood is the long one.
Okay.
And then 47 will be from baseline to 71.
Okay. And along Kennedy too.
Along Kennedy. Those are the big ones.
But those are newer ones. But
They are, but then like City Hall parking lot, the new City Hall parking lot, when we get to that, you know, that'll be, that's a big area.
Yeah.
But it's something that really will save the parking lot and save us some money.
I think it would be huge.
Yep. Any further questions? Ken?
Nope.
Joe, you got any questions?
I'm good.
Anticipating there may be some follow-up ones, we'll throw that on the standard public works agenda. Thanks again, Eric. New business item number 6, POU 2023-29, compact wheel loader purchase and disposal of surplus equipment.
Looking to spend some more money.
On a roll.
Yeah, this is just something that we have thought about for a couple years that would make our operations more efficient. Skid steer is a great tool. We have two of them. No getting around that. But we think that this small loader will be much better for brush pickup, for leaf pickup. Snow removal behind the fence at City Hall is going to be an issue. So something that is small yet powerful and has a cab where we can stay warm. And our skid steer is actually relatively young and still worth a good chunk of change, so the impact of the budget is not near as much as I first thought. This is budgeted for the 24 budget. There is a longer lead time on this. We probably wouldn't get this, I believe, in 6 months. So this would be September, October delivery. But in time for leaf season. Again, this is a single source because we are just trading with Bobcat. All of our attachments are Bobcat. If we go to a bid and somebody other than Bobcat wins, we would be out of all of our attachments. I did price up against Caterpillar though and John Deere, and the Bobcat is much less expensive.
I love it. It'd be my favorite one.
Ken's only question is, can he take it first?
Yeah, I can handle this baby.
Absolutely. And this has got the reach to load a six-wheeler.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you didn't choose the tracks, because I don't know about the track stuff.
Tracks aren't good on the asphalt. That's why we kept the track machine for our dirt jobs, and we could use this on the asphalt.
Yeah.
I have no questions. Joe, you got any?
No, I'm good.
And you got any other ones?
No, that's happy.
I have no issues with consent agenda if you guys are in agreement.
Yeah, they can pull it off if they.
Yeah. Excellent. Joe, you good with that?
Yeah, that's
awesome. Thank you. Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you.
New business item number 7, POU 2023-30, discussion of Wyland National Mayor's Challenge for Conservation.
For the National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation. This is the sixth year that Yorkville has participated in this nationwide contest. You can see that in 2018 and last year, we actually placed fifth in our population category. This is a simple survey that residents can do online, and then it puts them in a pool for winning different prizes, including money for utility bills. So it's just a simple way to get residents to think about their energy and water consumption and gives them a different idea on how to conserve both of those items. So it's no cost to the city. It's something fun that we do every month of April. I'll put out a press release on March 31st ahead of the April 1st start date. It runs for the whole month, and then I put little social media blurbs and stuff on the website about this. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I don't. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
So yes, we do this.
I haven't won the Toyota Highlander yet, so if we can just look into that.
What's that?
The Toyota Highlander. There at least a couple
this year
years.
There's no car.
This was the year I was going to win.
Dang it!
Yeah. All right. So there is no car this year. In the past couple years, the car was there, but it was only for the winning community, and then you had to choose what nonprofit organization to donate that to. So you physically wouldn't win it, but you could win all sorts of different fixtures for your plumbing. But you can also find different things like that, even through the state's website.
Yeah, I can dream. Excellent. Perfect. Thanks, Aaron. Consent agenda, I think, is fine for that.
Yeah.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Does he, John, may have to read it, though? Does he have to read anything for that? Or is that its resolution? All right.
The cheapest thing you guys have put on the agenda yet. New business item number 8, PW 2023-31, Lake Michigan Capital Improvement Plan Overview.
So there's a lot of information in the packet. I suppose Brad and Eric can probably go through PDF page 100, LM01 through LM16 spreadsheet, the $142 million price tag over many years. And just the purpose of this is just to give you an idea of general timing now of costs, different components, and really to learn what each component are. Because each one of these line items is probably going to have multiple agenda items, is my guess. So, for instance, the EWC buy-in costs, that could be a function of the intergovernmental agreement. So that's like its own thing. And then, you know, for the Montgomery Interconnect, you're going to have to do design engineering, and construction of it down the road. So you guys can take it away and kind
So, yeah, we'll just walk through line item by line item, if that's all right. And then, you know, behind page 100 is a little bit more detail if you're interested in that. But the first one, item number one, that's just continued work on the IDNR allocation. That's going to most likely spill over after the fiscal year. Yeah. So we just want to make sure we have some money there to cover ourselves. But right now it's looking like midsummer, hopefully, that would come into play. We're under contract right now for the preliminary engineering portion of that. That's just being kind of delayed a little bit because of the allocation work. So we're holding money over to next fiscal year. This also contains the WIFIA application anticipated work as well. So there's money set aside for that. That was the items that Bart was talking about a little bit earlier. So going to Lake Michigan, you know, you heard us talk about this. You heard me report on this here recently. There's certain commitments that the city has to make, and one of them is doing an annual water audit. Keeping track of how much water you're losing and hopefully staying below that 10% number once we get there. So that's just, it's just going to be ongoing. You know, that's just something we'll have to do, you know, here on forward. Same way with the leak detection. They're going to, IDNR is going to ask that leak detection is done on an annual basis. So that's something I know Eric reaches out and coordinates that effort.
It's actually going to come to PW next month.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, last year, for example, there were several leaks found. Yep. We got repaired a bunch of them. Some of them were actually, some of the more difficult ones we're putting into our water main replacement work this year. So those will be addressed. You know, we've talked about the meter retrofits. You know, it's good to have accurate data. There's a lot of meters that are outdated.
I know Eric, that'll be coming in May.
Yeah, so a tremendous amount of work and a commitment from the city on that to replace and update meters. You've heard us talk about corrosion control. So this is something the IEPA requires. If you switch your water source, you have to do a very detailed study, make sure you're not causing any issue or harm. You know, there's several cases throughout Illinois and, you know, Flint, Michigan. It's all related to the Flint, Michigan University Park situations. Yeah. Where water sources have been switched. There have been lead issues. This is trying to avoid that. So this is something that the city and the other two communities have obtained a grant on. We're still trying to figure that out, go through that process. But we do need to get going on that relatively quickly. So that's our best guess on the expenditures at the moment. It's a very long, tedious study, a couple years, 2.5 years. So yeah, Bart talked about the transmission mains. That'll be a lot of discussion and some negotiations coming up. Certainly hoping that we don't have to pay $106 million in 2025. That's DWC's current stance. I know negotiations will take place, and hopefully that can be adjusted. They do have some buy-in costs. So this is basically purchasing capacity that's already in the system. So it's just a standard cost that DWC has with all their new customers. So this is something that they've indicated to pay over time, and our best understanding of that is starting after it's connected and then paying, I think, over 20 years, I believe was the time frame, 20, 30 years. So roughly $300,000 a year, but that's, you know, a little bit down the line here. So the next several items, basically 9 through the end, through 16, that's all infrastructure within the city that this addresses with. So these are the improvements that are needed internally to your system. So it'll have to be a delivery station. So we've got the big pipe coming out. It'll come to two different stations, one by Grand Reserve and some of the tank and water treatment plant up there, and then the other one down south toward Raintree. So basically, there'll have to be a structure. You're going to receive the water from DWC. There'll be a meter involved within that. And then there'll be some sort of a storage tank associated with that as well. So we have to add storage into the system to comply with DWC requirements. So ground storage or standpipe, something like that, will be constructed. And that's both at the north and the south stations. So that kind of covers items 9, 10, 11, and 12. So some of those were actually, the two tank projects were actually recommending moving forward with, perhaps sooner than later, to take advantage of some possible funding through IEPA Loaners Loans and what have you. It's going to be a little bit of a song and dance because there's a lot of competition for that money. There's no guarantees you're going to be getting that money, so to try to get things lined up sooner than later in case things are delayed, you know, that's something that we've talked about internally. And much more to come on that as we get into things here.
We may also slot in better against other communities when they're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, the whole Joliet area, I mean, they're proposing, I think it's 10 to 12 tanks. So, and then plus, you know, Yorkville, Montgomery, Oswego, well, there's not that many tank manufacturers within the area. So that's the other item that we're trying to do, as Eric pointed out, if we're trying to beat the competition, if you will, and get ahead of
it. At least not it.
Yeah.
Right.
So we have some internal water main that needs to be done off of Bluestem. That's just to improve some of the flow. You know, once after everything is done, you know, we're going to take the water treatment plants, the existing ones, basically decommission them. So if you recall, we do need to keep the wells. They will serve as backup in case you know, there's damage to a pipe and we're not able to get water from DWC. The wells will remain as backup. But we don't need all the treatment facilities and equipment that go along with that. So all the cation exchange units, all this and that, will be basically decommissioned and removed from those sites. So, you know, that'll occur, of course, after all the connections are done and everything is up in operation. To kind of track flows and help with understanding where some water losses are, we're recommending adding some metering into the system. So those will be strategically located, kind of breaking it down per zone. That's just something that's gonna help us out moving forward. So that's what number 15. And then another emergency backup in case it's necessary, connecting with Montgomery. There is a spot off of Galena Road that is very close. Both systems you know, have that pipes relatively close to each other. This is something that's very common, happens all the time, especially in the suburban areas. DWC customers, there's a lot of interconnects. Just in case there's pipelines that go down, you're not able to have water. The water will be similar, obviously, because Montgomery is looking to get to Page water as well.
Right.
So definitely recommended to have that emergency backup. And that's also in the next step. So very high level, very brief run through of the projects. Ken, looks like you have a...
Yeah, I have a couple. Can I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
So I like the way this chart played out. So I'm hoping that maybe two or three times a year staff can give us the same chart with where we're at on expenditures, so we can kind of see the numbers. And I think the problem, if you just did it during the budget seasons, it gets blurred in with everything else. So I hope that we can see this maybe two or three times a year, where what we spent, you know, you may, I don't know, maybe put just a number beside the column that what we spent out. So, and then the other thing, so when I look at this, and I was looking at your chart to the right side, it says unfunded and city, so it looks like those numbers are the same for some reason. I just was kind of wanted to understand that column.
Yeah, that's probably just left over from, we have our normal CIP also has those columns. So, and I guess technically those items, many of those are not funded yet, right? We're still trying to work through that funding. But it's going to be, as Barb has mapped out, it's going to be a combination of WIFIA, IPA, low interest loan, and then bond sales.
Yeah, and that would be nice, because I like that column, if you can kind of, when you show it to us at, during the times, that we can see that too, what we're getting grants, what we're not. So, and then the other big question is, and we really haven't, I don't think, discussed it as a council, but some of this is going to be water rate increases, some of it's not. How are we going to see this going forward? Because like right now, there's no water increases being shown here, right?
Correct.
On these numbers. So when are we going to decide, like, when do we need to decide, look at these numbers and say, okay, we got to raise the rates, or we can get money from here?
So the fiscal year 24 through the fiscal year 28 columns are included in the budget, like as they're shown here. So like we've got $2.65 million in expenditures in fiscal year 24, which is the basis of our need to probably issue a $10 million bond next year to be able to afford all the projects that we have within the water fund, plus, you know, the places of eating tax versus water rate discussion. So that's like fiscal year 24. We've said basically in order to fund this as it's been drafted, we need a few $100,000 basically to keep us on a fund balance of about 25%. So that's like the smallest conversation, the most imminent one, hopefully the easiest. Hopefully it is probably the easiest. 25 and beyond is where it gets much more complex.
Right.
That is this summer's discussion as to, can these things be spread out? Are the estimates on? Are they off? Do we need to adjust them? You know, can we get different funding sources from people other than what we've already identified? And then we'll have to pair that timeline with debt service schedules and then water rate increases. And that'll be the outcome of this summer's discussion, hopefully, is that maybe the LMO7 DWC water transmission main fiscal year 25, to Brad's comment, and $106 million plus. You know, that's assuming DWC says all the money is due up front. Okay? We're going to sign an IGA, and they're going to say, before we're going to issue a contract to anybody, we need all the money up front. It's the old Breitbart discussion that I mentioned in the budget presentation. Is that reasonable on their end? Yes. Is it reasonable on our end? It's going to hurt our ratepayers, basically. So, you know, we're hoping that if we secure loans, grants, et cetera, provide some sort of security or promises to be able to say, let's tie this more towards construction, we can push those things off. And so if we're successful in that, and that $106 million gets spread, let's say it's between fiscal year 25, 26, and 27, for instance, like our rate structure is going to look much differently. Like that first year in fiscal year 25, it might be another interim water rate increase is what we need, you know, and then maybe the ultimate one doesn't hit until fiscal year 26, but those comments will all be, or those conversations will all be tied to the outcomes of those things and how they look on the spreadsheet. You know, and also, you know, this is a public tool, highest end estimates, a lot of contingency in there, hopefully, you know, as we bid things out, you know, hopefully those numbers come in less, and then we'll be able to true that up over time, you know, as we do our budget analysis to be able to say, well, the DWC water transmission mains can't be spread out, but functionally they're going to occur, maybe it's fiscal year 25 and 26 or something, we work that out, and instead of $106 million, it's $80 million. You know, we might be able to do that, and then the water rates would have to be paired with that accordingly. So the bottom line standard has got to be, you got to have cash in your water fund, okay, to be able to do these things. And that can be supplemented with other funds on a limited basis. And you really want to keep your fund balance like right around 25%, or have a real good reason to like bottom it out and then bring it back the next year. Because what's going to happen is, if we don't, you know, adhere to our own policies on fund balance, we run out of cash, and we can hopefully, maybe we can use some reserves to pay, you know, down some of these things over time so they're less impactful. But the bond rating agencies will go, oh, you're not following your own policy, you've got all these, you know, projects coming up, you know, your outlook is not so good, we're going to downgrade you, and then our interest rate goes from, I don't know, 4.5% to 6%, you know, whatever it ends up being, which then costs us more money. So that's, we have to thread the needle between cash flow, fund balance, what the rating agencies say is good, and, you know, what taxpayers can afford, basically.
In Brad and mine's meeting yesterday, our Whitfield consultant, she had some ideas on that. She was all over it.
Nice.
So 18. Right? Yeah, she was really good.
So then should we be thinking about, like, there's going to be a water rate increase each fiscal year, probably no matter what, going for? I mean, is that way it's looking, or would it be like maybe once a time in 2024 and then maybe once in 2026? And I know it depends on your numbers, but.
Yeah, that timing I am less certain about, and some of it may be.
Well, that's what I am too, and I'm wondering what we're thinking of.
Some of it may be your own preferences, like, you know, big jumps and then, you know, a plateau and a big jump. It might be gradual, you might be able to defer some of it. I mean, that's all going to be a policy decision for you.
How are we going to get it, be educated on that decision that we make?
Well, that's the entire summer's project.
Okay.
It's like, you know, do we need to do special meetings, or can we knock it out at these meetings? Are you guys comfortable with it? Do we need to drill into something?
Yeah, I think it's the special meetings, there have to be some of them with these kind of numbers, my personal opinion, but because there are big numbers, and I would like to know if people come to me like, well, this is what's going to have to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And it's more, this whole thing is kind of PR, so.
Of course.
Okay.
So with our most recent increase, have you had anybody that's kind of inquired about, why is my water bill up? I've received it non-personally in my ward, but.
So this is my own anecdotal observations over the past 10 or 15 years. When we changed the water bills from a very, very low amount, like 10 years ago, and hadn't touched it in a few years, and we were going through our fiscal issues, and everybody else was too, because it was, you know, recession, there were a lot of phone calls, dozens, hundreds, what's going on, why are you doing this, and we would have to explain it to people at the time. Because we weren't just doing water rate increases, it was everything across the board.
Yeah.
In the past few years, the inflationary increases, yes, there are people who are very sensitive to it and call in and register their opinion. It's not a peak like it was, you know, a decade ago when it occurred. And in my opinion, the past few years, even with the interim rate one that we did last year, the people who read the newspaper will understand it's like Michigan water. You know, they can tie that nexus to a rate increase.
Yeah.
What tends to more happen often than not now is something goes wrong with the water meter, a builder has a disagreement with, you know, a homeowner over who's paying the first water bill when they, you know, did $1,000 for the facade, and or they move from somewhere else and they see our, you know, once every 2 month bill at its high level and say, this is the highest water bill I've ever seen in my life. And then we have to break it down to people and say, like, you know, depending where you came from, it might be, this is where we're at in the region. We try to explain that. So there's far more of that coming in. People just saying, like, a water hose broke, or I left my water spigot out outside and I've got a $500 water bill. Or don't realize that a toilet can run you $600 or $700 a month. You don't touch it.
Right.
So those conversations, I think, are more numerous than people just calling and saying, like, hey, I noticed it went up $7, you know, bimonthly. What's the deal with this type of thing?
I think I'm piggybacking onto that. What you're saying is, my hunch is telling me that once we start replacing these water meters, that we're going to find out that some people are going to have their water bill go up like that, just because now they got a good working meter versus the old ones.
That's accurate.
And I almost guarantee you that you're going to get people calling, sort of contacting you on that.
The other thing is, too, is as we replace them, we have a modern system that hopefully is a little bit more reliable. We'll be doing less estimated reads, too, which means, you know, people are going to immediately see, you know, the increase when it occurs. So hopefully there will be a little bit of, you know, there will be more people that notice it, that it's, you know, awful as opposed to tolling for a few months. But hopefully over time that will drop off, because people will say, like, well, I've got a relatively responsive water meter, and so I can fix an issue the minute it happens, rather than
Which is why I'm looking forward to the whole council kind of discussing, like, you know, just the idea of you, is a gradual one, gradually increasing the rates at a certain rate better than hitting hard stops. We haven't had that discussion yet because of council. We haven't had that, so I'm curious to see how you feel about that, too. Yeah.
The only funding target that we've identified, to your point, is just that, you know, we've told everybody the water rates are going to double. We made the interim step, which is like here, we need to be up here. So, when I get there, is, you know, going to be more hard in sight, I think.
Yeah, some of the things I thought about.
Okay. Joe, you got any questions? More thoughts?
No, not at this time. I'm sure I will later. But it's a little hard over here.
Yeah.
Just as a general, probably the most complex decision we'll make this early on will be that DuPage Water Commission, IGA, it's going to have all the commitments and stuff that we're going to do.
That's the 106
might,
number?
Yeah, might lay out some of the timelines and the buy-in costs.
And the buy-in.
Who's responsible, when it has to get paid. So that all is going to happen, like, sort of in concert with our summer discussions. So, because they need some commitments, basically, just for them to start spending millions of dollars on engineering and design and all those other things, too. So, and then additionally, in here for the, there's like a three-way study that they're already going to start doing. They're going to ask us for a deposit of like $200,000.
Right. Yeah, it's factored into the number seven there.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. So even before we do the IGA, there's going to be like a memorandum of understanding where they're going to DWC is going to approve like a $600,000 design engineering or conceptual engineering, you know, assistance. The three communities are just going to split, you know, three ways, 33% each way. So that's $200,000, and that's in there, and that'll be like one of the first things that we discuss. So the IGA, the eventual one, will probably be more nuanced in its payment structure. You know, we'll probably end up paying more than us as we go in Montgomery because we're farther away.
Yeah.
We have more mains that we need. And so we have some general recommendations for like percentages between the towns that is based on, you know, it's like an average of averages. There's different ways you can divvy up the cost, population, usage, pipe runs, you know, and so there's, yeah, right. So at some point or another, we'll have to have that conversation just about, like, you know, is it appropriate for us to pay 38%, 38.5%, 39%, 40%, 50%, you know, whatever it ends up being.
So when we bond these big amounts, how long is that bond going to be stretched out for?
So a lot of these bonds are going to be different. So we've got it structured within the 5-year budget currently as a, I think it's a 30-year, like $10 million loan, just municipal bond that we're going to do next year. And that's in concert with our place of meeting tax, water discussion. And then after that, Rob's got in there two 20-year IEPA loans, one of them in like 26 and one of them in 27. And then the WIFIA program is usually a 30-year program.
Okay.
So, but I mean, there's flexibility in that too. It just depends on, do we want to accrue that much interest? Do we think it's beneficial to push it off because we might have more residents that have moved to town that can pay those, you know, 29-year, 30-year, you know, debt service schedules. So that's,
okay.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers.
For the just because you kind of mentioned before that Joliet's got, you know, 12 that they're asking for delivery station storage. Do we know what Montgomery and Oswego is estimating them?
Well, there'll be at least two in each community.
Okay.
So similar to we're proposing two, so it'll be six total.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are the tanks. That'll be necessary. So there's going to be a big run on tanks in the area.
So it's like a diesel tank for a truck stop.
No, these are
concrete tanks, aren't they?
Yeah, these are larger, like 2 million
Okay.
Million-gallon ground storage tank. So they're kind of the short, large diameter kind of short tanks that you...
They look like the oil tanks you see, like at the refinery.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, are they buried?
Nope.
No, they'll be above ground. So yeah, they could be concrete.
30, 40, 50 feet tall, couple hundred feet in diameter.
Potentially. So this also depends on some information. So right now we're thinking ground storage, but if there's enough pressure coming in the pipe, then we would go standpipe, so they would be taller and smaller diameter. So we just don't have that information yet.
Do we know where these are going?
Yes.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're roughly?
Gary Reserve, up at the water treatment plant, and then Rain Tree at the water treatment plant.
Yes.
At Rain Tree, we are looking to actually expand that area to accommodate the tank. We'll have to purchase
Some more.
This sort of dovetails into the solar discussion, because we talked about like where the solar panels at Admin might go, those two sites. And there's a potential, depending on what we actually end up building and how it looks, they might be able to put solar panels on top of it, the top. So, but that's the discussion. It's like, do we need additional land? Is it going to be a taller pipe? Is it going to be shorter, wider?
Okay.
And then, within each one of those styles, there's design choices. You know, what color is it? Is it concrete? Is it metal? Is it like a plastic one? Or it's like a resin or something?
Yeah, it's like a
really
the kelp, the fiberglass.
So each one of them have different construction costs, operational maintenance costs, pros and cons. So
that's more decision making on us to
when
we get to this point for those.
Absolutely. And there will be recommendations.
Yeah, we'll be in contact.
As often. But pictures on like a standpipe at one point. He was like, pick the one that looks the best. And I was like, okay, sure. $5 million expenditure or whatever it ends up being.
I like the blue one.
Right. Exactly. But those types of conversations are going to occur.
Yeah.
You know, theoretically, before we start to do design engineering, or as we're doing design engineering, before it gets to bid, and we start to plan out construction season.
So would this number be the top end, or is this number?
Yeah.
The numbers in here, well, that's certainly what we hope. I mean, we have a very large contingency in there, and we have inflation factored in as well. But
so by what we select, could lower that number at some point.
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah. Certainly that's what we're hoping for, yes.
We're hoping to be conservative at this point, just like Mark said, to do with the alone, so we don't short ourselves.
I feel much better knowing that number is like the max that it can be, and not something that's going to surprise
the heck out of us. And,
we hope so.
No guarantees.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah. You think of like paper mache storage tank or something? Excellent. Good discussion.
Yeah,
lots of good information too, even if we'll over an overview for now. Joe, you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Bart. Thanks, Brad. And thanks, Eric.
Sure.
Excellent. So that was information only right at the stage. So new business on item number 9, PW 2023-32, our water department vehicle purchase.
Well, we'll stick with water, but this is a lot less expensive. We actually found a small Ford Connect transit van. We found one on the ground. We have been searching for the entire year, and I put a couple little quotes in here, or a little from salesmen, that they don't know when they're going to get them. So we found one on the ground. It's budgeted, and we just like to jump on it and get it.
So this would be in place of a pickup truck. Basically.
It's going to, instead of a pickup truck, we're going to have the meter installer drive this, since they drive hither and yon every day, and then use the truck in the fleet for a more heavy duty, more appropriate use.
Oh, you're going to keep the truck then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's a newer truck. We just thought we would go a little easier on the gas mileage, a little easier on the wear and tear, and not put so many miles on a one-ton truck that we have to keep for 7 more years.
Oh, I was done. I was thinking that you're trading it.
Now we'd like to sell the Y8. This is the old truck, one of the old trucks.
Okay.
But we're keeping a new truck. This is an old truck that we can get rid of when the current truck gets passed on. So we're still going to rotate one out, but the one we're rotating out is an 03.
Okay. That's the one that was shown in here.
Yep.
Okay.
It's been a great truck. It's just, Again, this is a sole source. We can't find them anywhere. Mm-hmm. So when we found them, we're trying to jump on it. It's $45,000. We actually have well more than that budgeted. We were supposed to get two, but we'll get one and keep looking.
Excellent. Questions?
No, just so were you thinking like consent? Because, or does this have to, we should just have a full council vote?
I'm thinking consent, if you guys are in agreement.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have thoughts, but.
They can, somebody will probably pull it off and get something. Yeah, that's fine.
We'll challenge them to see if they want to do that.
John will be the one who pulls it.
Yeah,
that's they want to mention how much we're spending on.
He steals half of my motions anyway. Yeah, I'm going to go with
It's the most exciting committee.
Let's go with consent.
Yeah.
Joe, you good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So much excitement. Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, these little things now seem like small numbers, right? Compared to the big ones. Yeah.
That's why I put it on the list. I was reading a bunch of memo from like 2011 or 2012 the other day to like find some old piece of data, and I was like, the things that we're doing now compared to what we were struggling with years ago is insane.
Yeah, one department's budget is
yes.
The overall budget, yes.
I remember way back in, when we talked about the roads program, and the question came up, how much to do them all? And I remember Gary saying, well, it's like $46 million if we do every street. I'm like, every street would be done and we have to do a roads program.
The first year, I think we spent $500,000.
Yeah, and I would
never think we're going to make it.
That was, yeah, it was horrible. And then now I'm at $46 million, doesn't look too bad. We could have just done that.
A long way.
It's a good problem.
No old business. Do we have any additional business? I have none. You got anything, Joe?
Yeah, good.
All right. Well, with that, I guess we'll call the meeting to close at 6:52.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.